You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Ah, baby! It's cool again's time! Open up wide! Okay. Say ah!
Damn, what is that? What is that, Young Thug?
She's that clip of Young Thug going like, hey, make it me. And people were making fun of him. And
I think that's every clip of you. Yeah.
His producer was like, that's called top lining. He's just trying to find the melody.
Okay. Okay, Mariah. Trying to find.
Can you sing?
Can I sing? I'm
show us in 3, 2.
I ain't happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine.
This isn't really a song. You're not singing.
I'm
that's
useless.
Crooning. You got to hit me with a, I believe I can fly.
Oh, damn, bro. I choose to support singers that aren't absolute monsters.
All okay? Right, that was a good point, actually. I was just thinking of something that had melody attached to it. Hold on, I got one better. Dance the night away. I don't know the rest of the song, though.
Yo, I hope we get hit with every copyright strike right saying, now.
We are in big trouble. Uh-huh. Normally, though, in Levitard Show, whenever someone starts saying this, it was such a bad impression that no one's going to come after us. I think we're in the same boat.
I'm hitting it beautifully.
We're in the same boat.
Hello, everybody. I promise we're going to stop singing. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I am Alexis Guerrero.
And as always,
it's the Cooligans, buddy.
Your favorite hilarious soccer/football show. All right? We out here. A lot to go over today, but just a reminder.
Remind everybody.
If you are listening to the show, hit the subscribe button. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. Hit the follow button. Do what you got to do. Otherwise, you're going to make me feel bad. All right? Nobody wants that.
Why would you do that to Christian?
Okay. Foul, that's, we don't allow it here, making me feel bad. So that's just the one rule of the show. But we got a lot to go.
Tell them what your love language is, bro.
My love language is subscribe button. Okay. rub up and down that subscribe button.
buy me a gift, and that gift is the subscribe button getting hit.
My subscribe button hasn't been touched in years.
You know what? Do me a favor. Rub that subscribe button nice and slow.
Okay. That's what I need, all right, to feel close to you.
Huh?
So hit the make sure you hit that subscribe button. All right. Sorry for turning you on before the beginning of the show.
Every freaking day and every freaking night.
All this singing.
I want to subscribe, baby.
And subscribe rubbing as definitely.
This show is getting freaky, bro.
It's getting crazy.
You're going to make it sound like.
So we have a lot to go over. Obviously, MLS Cup playoffs are happening. NWSL final is this weekend. We're going to talk about that. Give a nice little
You didn't say you were excited
preview.
To talk about. So I'm excited for this episode because you didn't say it.
Okay.
Are you not excited? Is that because they haven't touched the subscribe button yet?
How am I going to get excited if they don't even touch the subscribe button?
At least hover over it for a little bit, will you? God damn it.
Tease me at least.
Make us think you want to do it.
Okay. I just want you to want to hit the subscribe button.
You haven't even tried. And I made you this dinner for no reason.
But we have to start today with UEFA Champions League because the club of all clubs, the theater, the club that plays in the theater of dreams.
Like a theater of night terrors.
Because what a tifo from Copenhagen as well.
Bro, they got it right. They did steal from me. I said that on Morning Footy like a couple months ago.
You said Theater of Nightmares?
I said if they keep losing at home, they're going to turn the Theater of Dreams into the Theater of Nightmares. And I went like,
damn, ah. FC Copenhagen, the fans are watching. They were like,
he was here. He was here a couple months ago.
Morning Footy is massive. In
Morning Footy is spitting, bro.
they put the little They put the little devil asleep. That's how I sleep, bro.
So,
leg all out.
Beautiful to see. I mean, look, it's well done. You love to see.
Are you under
nice...
the covers? You know what? I'm a one leg out the cover. You do that?
My when one it's leg hot out, the cover? When it's hot out, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
how you regulate the temperature. One leg out.
I mean,
but then aren't you worried about the monster under your bed coming to get you?
Damn, bro.
That's
you, everybody damn. Always forgets about the monster under the bed.
You know, I forgot we were a science show now, dude.
Okay, so yes, it was a nice TIFO with a little
double. This is nice. This is wildly impressive. The whole section.
Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely beautiful.
And I don't know if you saw the detail on the side, like the players or like the little images of the plays happening on the side. Those are real images from the past times that Copenhagen beat Manchester United.
Right, damn. Right, right. So yeah, and they have the score from the previous match.
And the says, date, just in case you forgot.
Okay. They don't do...
Put it on your calendar.
They don't do the FOTMOB app. They just like, they literally paint a whole TIFO to remind
damn.
You. But no, credit to FC Copenhagen because they win the game. They win, I believe, 4-3, right?
Yeah, 4-3.
And it was just a ridiculous game. Manchester United, I think with 11 players, probably wins this game fairly easily. Easily.
By the way, could you put this back up? Because for some reason, Tottenham takes a stray out of nowhere. I don't know if you could see this. Someone named Tottenham New York or yeah. Tottenham NYC said, take some notes at Spurs official on what a proper TIFOs looks like. Instead of just some white and blue letters to make a word or three, let fans in the South Stand actually have some input and some artistry creativity. This guy was like, I know what you're trying to do is intimidate on the team, but I'm going to use this as an opportunity to criticize the lack of artistry and creativity in my team's TIFOs.
Well, England is not really known for its TIFO.
It's they like don't... an anti-TIFO place.
Yeah.
They're like, why would you do all that when you could just have a funny chant?
Are they not any, like, you know, ambitious graphic designers in England? I'm sure there's plenty.
Yeah, there's got to be a couple people who are working at Starbucks and have upset their parents.
Well, we've been to Germany, and in Germany, I mean, it's wild. The TIFOs, the flares, the
dude, Morocco
fandom.
Got crazy TIFOs. Red Star Belgrade has always some France. Crazy. They also light the stage on fire, light everything on fire. So, France got some TIFOs. England's like, nah, mate, we don't paint.
Right, right. So it's a
where are we gonna get all this fabric, mate?
Right, right. It's a missed opportunity.
It's ridiculous, mate.
Look, but it just you know speaks to like the different cultures of being a supporter in different countries. It is what it is, but hopefully England will get on board someday. But
they should do TIFOs in the NBA.
Let's talk about even the seats are not even lit. You know you can't see anything. But let's talk about the red card to Marcus Rashford because I think that was the main talking point in this game.
Yeah, I think finally VAR got it right. And
my issue is the last few weeks, it feels like, you know, footy is on every single day, right? There's a league all over the world. Somebody's always playing. And it feels like every single day there is a controversial, the refs are involved more than we're talking about the refs too much.
Well, the damn media, especially those morning shows that go for 2 hours every morning, 5 days a week.
We need to stop
are
them.
Are filling time by speaking about these damn refs. I might be part of the reason why this is happening.
Oh, wait, I can't believe part of the problem is my co-host.
Oh no, but isn't that common though? Wouldn't you have always expected that? I think it's one of those things where like, you gotta figure out a way to stop this from continuing to snowball. And I honestly think because of how much people are talking about it and how much the media is focusing on this, that's actually affecting the referees in these situations.
100%. I said the exact same thing to one of my friends yesterday. They're getting way too nervous now because they know all
they
the
know
attention.
It's a clip. Yep. They know a clip is coming. It's like how some comedians who aren't good at crowd work are like, yo, I haven't put up a clip in a day or two. So I need to, like, where are you from? And they're like, Alabama. And they're like,
oh boy,
damn. I need to think of something. Yeah, you stupid, bro. Like, they got to think of something.
Sir,
like,
say something racist. You know, something.
Help me out of here. Bang your sister, bro. You know, they're trying to figure out a thing to say because the pressure's on. They know a clip is coming.
So, and I think, look, so the play, obviously.
I should have said cousin instead of sister.
That would have been, hey, bro, they go crazy out there, dog.
I don't know what's going on. If we have any listeners in Alabama.
All I know is that all the stereotypes are true.
Yeah.
Mean no,
that's all I know.
Hey,
I
mean, you know what? If you're in Alabama, do not rub that subscribe button unless you've done a 23.
You mean our executive producer from Alabama?
Okay. It's all jokes. We're just having a good time.
These are just bits.
Yeah, we're just joking around.
Shout out to Melius.
Okay. But so this is one of my main issues. We are talking about the refs a lot, but I feel like the last couple weeks, and especially since the Liverpool Spurs VAR catastrophe, I think what hasn't happened often enough is the ref going to the monitor and being like, yo, VAR, I see what you did your job, but I don't agree with that call because I didn't make that call in real time when it actually happened. I think that's the sad part.
Okay, but then let's have a conversation about what's the spirit of VAR, right? So Christina Uncle said...
It's a tattletale now.
That's VAR mentioned, dog. We don't ride for that. We don't ride for that, dog.
Because it should be the
yo, mind your business,
bro. We'll get to the MLS one with Mark Anthony Kay because that is another example of just one that felt like...
Dude, I'm sorry. You step on somebody's chest.
Okay, but you're...
Maybe it's at least a yellow...
A yellow? Okay, we'll get to that later. But okay, let's stick with the Rashford. The Rashford.
You step on somebody's ankle. You know?
I get it because
it looked bad. It would look painful.
It looked bad. It clearly wasn't intentional. But he is trying to shield the ball, and the player's leg is already there.
Yeah, and also, and I know Charlie said this, and I'm like, I agree. You can't really take this into account. But like the ref, like, dude, you know Marcus Rashford's not this type of guy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's an unfortunate situation. I can understand the red because of. What happened a couple weeks ago with Marcelo? Mm-hmm. Marcelo playing Fluminense.
Oh, horrific.
Broke a guy's leg.
Literally broke a guy's leg.
Doing the exact same thing. So it is a danger. It's endangering the safety of a player.
Maybe it's not, but we've seen two instances where it can. So,
So I understand you want... He's just trying to shield the ball. He's not trying to hurt anybody. But he did hurt somebody. He completely put
the
studs through the dude's ankle.
Everyone's complaining whether this is a red card or not. At the end of the day, there's a guy who's... His sock is full of blood now.
Yeah. Right, right.
Because
right.
He got... And look, I don't know what that feels like, and I do not want to know what that feels like. That looked terrific. But at the end of the day, if you didn't catch something in VAR, I can understand VAR being used. But if you saw something and VAR says, hey, I need you to take a look at it, you should keep in mind how you felt in the moment when you saw it in real time. So it should be enough to convince you that what you saw in that moment was you maybe didn't take it as serious or you didn't have a close enough look at it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It should be enough to convince that what you saw in real time and how you felt in that moment is wrong.
Well, I think that's like the big thing because when VAR first came into like popularity or whatever, they were saying it was used to fix clear and obvious errors. And I forget who said it. I think it was on the Champions League game yesterday. They said they're using VAR now to re-referee games. And like go back and re-decide original decisions. And that's not what VAR is supposed to be used for. It's supposed to be, okay, the referee made a mistake. Now we need to go fix it. Not, it's kind of could have been this way. It could have been this way. What is the VAR referee
think?
But
that's actually part of having a clear and obvious error is, yo, this was bad. Do you want to take a second look at this? That's kind of how
but
it should be
I think
used.
They're skipping over that this is bad part. They're like, okay, this could go either way. What is the VAR official think? Yeah. That's not what it's supposed to be used for.
All right, I got another idea. The iPad on a stick. I think
that was a hit.
That was a good idea. I got another idea. What if there was a guy already, or a lady, what if there was a ref already at the TV standing there? So when the ref came over, it could be like, yo, here's what I think you missed. And then it's a conversation, not... couple people upstairs who are just watching it on TV. Someone who's on the pitch who's like, hey, I can see from here, but I also need you to look at this and go, yo, I don't know. I think this is bad.
I mean, but that's what the fourth official is essentially
there. No, the fourth official standing over there spinning like a clock. We don't need you, bro.
You want a fifth official.
We need a fifth official.
To just be watching the screen on.
No,
they're
watching the pitch and... They have access to the screen.
No,
the fourth official could just do that.
Dude, he's got to be like, yo, eight's coming out for 12.
The center referee.
Why don't we just have one of those on a stick? I need a couple sticks.
The center referee has their own input, their own eyes, has the two assistant referees on the touchline, has the fourth official, has VAR, and then VAR has an assistant VAR, and two other like camera operator people. So there's a lot of people that it has to kind of go through to even get to the point where the VAR is like, yo, go take a look at this. But I just think we've you know, when people are like, the game's gone, Micah was saying that the game's gone. I think it's when I hear that, I just think like the some authority has been sort of taken away from the center referee. Even the center referee who has a decision to be like, no, I agree or no, I disagree. They're just inherently agreeing with the VAR a little too easily, I think. I think there should be, the center referee should take in some of the context of the game. And I'm not saying that, I'm not defending Marcus Rashford. I do think it's a red and it is what it is. But there should be
I don't think it's a red. I think it's a yellow.
Okay, that's fair. But I think even that the center referee should be confident and brave enough to disagree with the VAR, and we're not seeing that enough. I would love to see the statistics since VAR was introduced. How many times has the center referee disagreed?
Oh, very few.
With the VAR.
Can I tell you? No, actually, if okay,
get Christina Uncle. No, no.
Do you want to know whose fault this is? It's England's fault. Let me explain why.
Just like everything, bro.
You know what? Before you even finish, I agree.
I want you to know.
I'm good.
Do you remember when VAR was first instituted? MLS was the first league to have it.
Yes, yes. One of the first.
One of the first.
Yeah.
And you know what they did? Every time there was a call that VAR was like, hey, yo, hold up. What did the ref do? Early on, what did they do?
They
every time.
Every time. Yeah, every time VAR, they went and looked at the screen.
They went and looked at the screen. What was the first league to say, nah, I'm not going to go look at the screen. I'm going to stand here and wait like I'm waiting for a bus.
Yeah, yeah. My homies would never lie to me.
Nah, I trust my G's. What was the first league to do that?
Premier League.
The Premier League. And now what's happening, they only go to the TV when it's a really bad call.
Yeah.
So the statistics are now swayed because they only go to the TV when they are already convinced or have been told that they were wrong or it's an iffy call. So if they just went to the screen every time and was like, nah, that ain't it, and ran back, we would not waste any more time. We would not have a lot to talk about. We'd be back to how it was when it first started before the Premier League refs got lazy and didn't want to go there because they want to do it their own way, dog.
Yeah, these refs, you know,
they went rogue, dog.
These Premier League refs are all untattooed millionaires. You know, you know the saying.
You get it.
They're lazy.
Tell me I'm wrong though. Remember when the refs would go to the TV screen? It wasn't like this.
Yeah, there's something going on. I think just even the nature of being a referee has so much scrutiny.
Yeah, because they're like, yo, my engagement's down on my socials. They're thinking about other things, bro.
Just remarkable. So look, even with the red for Marcus Rashford, it is still a somewhat humiliating loss for Manchester United. Copenhagen. I mean, the last, who's the guy? Rooney
who scored
that last goal. What a banger. Just like, bro, banged it off the ground.
The coach said this is the worst game we've had. We've played. I'm like, damn, they wanted to win 18-0 on y'all. Hey, yo, Copenhagen balls out, though.
Yeah, they look great.
El Yunusi, who didn't play last weekend.
You said Copenhagen balls out. Like, they had their balls out? But no, mean that they balled out.
They balled out. But yo, also, they walked around, they put it on the desk.
No, a big victory with a lot of controversy. Even the handball.
The handball is crazy.
Whole Copenhagen was kind of crazy as well. So, Manchester United had almost, they almost got bailed out. They had a great opportunity, Bruno, after he made the penalty, but they couldn't hold on. And so, look, it puts, where are they at on the table? They are in a bad spot. They are last.
They are dead last.
They have 3 points in Group A. With a group that you would imagine Manchester United should get out of, but Bayern Munich
because now they got to win at Galatasaray, and they got to win at Bayern Munich.
Yeah,
Alexis, our pre-Champions League prediction of Galatasaray getting through is looking pretty good right now.
Buddy, thank you for remembering that. If I was wrong, forget it.
So how many? It's how many matches? Six matches?
Yeah, there's two left.
Two left. Okay, so all right. So it's gonna be a bit tough for Manchester United, who can't have a good. They won against Fulham, and then they have this. You know,
they can't catch momentum.
Okay. Any other Champions League, any notable results?
Arsenal won.
Arsenal won against who they beat?
Sevilla. Diego Alonso, former Inter Miami coach,
is the coach for Sevilla.
Yeah. Sevilla's just trying to get back down to the Europa League so they can win that. Yeah, we all know their strategy.
That's their vibe.
PSV Eindhoven beating Lens was actually huge. Really good for Arsenal in that group. So Arsenal is doing well. I saw
Union Berlin didn't lose a game. Thank
you. we were going to do it.
You were going to go analog.
We're
going to
manual. We're like, nah, we don't do that anymore. The other, on Tuesday?
Milan beat PSG. That was a big one. AC Milan.
Yes.
That was huge.
Yes, and Christian Pulisic got injured.
It's just muscle fatigue.
He got the Messi injury.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign. He's not going to
get out of
them
planes.
but he's left off the Nations League roster in those upcoming matches for the international break. So the U.S. roster for those games just got released. Now, do I have it on screen somewhere? I might.
We'll talk about it more when they actually are playing the games.
But no, overall, a fun
international
week so far
window, yeah.
with Champions League. Dortmund also beat Newcastle, which was
huge.
Another impressive victory for Dortmund. And also, I just want to mention this, the update, because we haven't talked about this yet, but Luis...
Can we pause for 1 second? I'm going to shit my pants.
Okay, Alexis has returned.
Wait, we're living that on the show? Okay, cool. Let's just say I'm a little dehydrated. That was a two-flusher, bro.
I mean, in the podcast world, it was just a quick cut. You no one really noticed anything. No. But it's been a solid half hour.
My beard is a little longer. Every once in a while, I think to myself, you know what? Maybe I'll just have a salad for lunch.
Okay, if you're watching on YouTube, it might look like a time lapse. We might look a little bit different, but
I wish I could explain to you how much better my clothes fit right now. I almost didn't make it.
Okay, well,
thank God we're near the bathroom.
I was about to talk about the end of a very sad story, which was Luis Diaz, his family in
a positive end.
A positive end, yes.
Which is a story that could have been much, much more sad, but luckily it wasn't.
Right.
His father's been rescued.
Yes, and his mother was kidnapped by, I guess, some militant group in Colombia.
Yeah, like a political group. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is... glad to hear both his parents are back home safely.
His mother was rescued pretty quickly right away.
Yeah.
But the father was, being held somewhere else. They couldn't rescue him.
Yeah, for 13 days. So, yeah. And then he had scored the late goal against...
who was against, but it was the game over the weekend.
Yeah, over the weekend.
Then where he showed the shirt. Celebridad para papá.
Exactly. And so again, just good news. I just highlight like that. This is it's still terribly unfortunate, and it's all... still too common. We've heard these stories for a long time coming out of South America.
It's been a while since Colombia had this much political turmoil.
Right.
It seemed like something that had worked its way. It went through the system similar to how my lunch did earlier. It got expelled from their society.
Right.
But I guess, and apparently I've only heard this in passing. I don't know this for a fact. But their agreement, ceasefire, if you will,
mm-hmm.
involves like, hey, don't do the kidnappings, don't mm-hmm. do stuff like that. Leave like the important, especially like the families of important figures in Colombia are always, targets for stuff like this. So it was important for them to say, like, leave them alone. So this might create a little bit of political turmoil, or at least... I guess we could keep calling it political turmoil within the country. You hope it doesn't.
I mean, you hope it doesn't. That's really the main thing. But we've heard stories like this in Argentina as well. These happen. I just hope these things just stop happening. So, but glad that both his parents are okay and safe and back home. It reminds me, did you see recently John Obi Mikel was on, I guess, some podcast.
That was a crazy story.
He was talking about, which I remember this story. I used to do a joke, kind of. I mean, it was like, it wasn't mean by any sense of the imagination, but I used to do a joke on stage kind of explaining this story about how John Obi Mikel's parents had gotten kidnapped multiple times. It was just such a common thing. Where's he from?
Nigeria.
In Nigeria. So it's just such a shocking thing. But he told the detail that the last time it happened, and it was before the game against Argentina, that he had gotten a phone call that his his father was kidnapped, and he didn't know who to call. It was like 2 hours before the game against Argentina at the World Cup, and he contacted Roman Abramovich, and Roman Abramovich said he just said, do you want me to send somebody there to go get your father? And he was just like, what do you mean? What are you going to do? Like, he didn't understand. He's like, how are you going to do
that? Roman Abramovich.
He said, how are you going to do that? He said, don't worry about it. Just let me know if you need me to go get him.
And he was like, they'll get your father. Don't worry about it.
So it's just like, yo, Roman. I mean, you understand, but you don't. You just don't ever like it. It's just it feels odd when it's like so real.
Yeah, to get thrown in a Taken movie all of a sudden.
Roman Abramovich is Taken.
So it's kind of wild.
I have a certain set of skills.
Was he going to do it himself?
Yeah. Oh, that would be. Roman Abramovich is like a bloody. His arm is in a sling, and he's like just thumbs up from the owner's box.
That's why he's so Chelsea. He's like, yo, I gotta go. I'm, you know, doing hostage negotiations. Yeah, yeah. Like,
it's in your contract, dude. I gotta do it.
I got another job. So pretty crazy. So yeah, you hate to hear these stories, and I'm just glad his family's safe.
Could you imagine that? Just calling Putin back then. And being like, yeah, no, things are going well. Yeah, the team is doing well. Yeah, some of the players are actually about to play Argentina. In fact, that brings up a funny thing.
I hate to ask for another favor.
Yeah, yeah. Boone, maybe.
Could I get some of your mercenaries? Just borrow a few. Any of them know Spanish by any chance? Or I guess, any of them speak Urubu by any chance?
All right, let's move on to the MLS Cup. Playoffs and just a quick little recap because they've been obviously some
imagine they call the owner of the Red Sox Luis Diaz. He'd be like, what am I supposed to do? You want me to get a couple Dominicans down there? I got Manny Ramirez and Big Bobby aren't doing anything.
See what they can see how charming they are.
Maybe they can help. I don't know.
Okay, anyway, quick recap. Atlanta United beat Columbus in their second game. Orlando,
that's it. Columbus is done, right? No. Goes to a third. This is going to be an entertaining third game.
Yeah, but a good game. I mean, I think the Spider-Man mask from Zande Silva was a big moment, but also the miss.
What a miss.
The miss of all misses, bro.
Do we have it?
I'll find the clip somewhere.
Because it is a wild one.
Because that, yeah, we should just react to that. But
was there plexiglass on the... That can't be real.
I believe Doug, the homie Douglas Reyes Cerrone, he was so this is the interesting thing. MLS, we know that they repost all the highlights.
Mm-hmm. Good or bad?
Good or bad? No. Not bad. They don't post.
They don't?
They own.
They used to, remember?
They own. Lately, maybe it's just the Apple thing, but they are only posting when it's something positive. When something negative happens, you can't find the clip on any of socials.
Questionable stuff, sure, but I thought the other teams used to post like misses and stuff.
But things that are like are kind of embarrassing, right. they don't post, which fine, I get it. But I think we're in a place within MLS that there isn't that nobody's posting anywhere.
Yeah, not even like don't let Apple see this.
Bleacher Report. Yeah. No, but there's like an oddly like, you know, sort of concerted effort to not make MLS look bad, which I think is just a little strange. So I couldn't find any official place that had this, that had the clip. But yes, this is Zande Silva. Let me just, where's the audio coming from? Is the audio coming from the right place? No, it's not. Oh, sorry about that. So this is Zande Silva of Atlanta United, and Atlanta United ended up winning, and it was a good game and entertaining. But this is just, I can't even believe he missed this.
If you're just listening and you didn't see it, basically it's completely open. The keeper goes to the one player. He passes it across the face of the goal.
Yakumakis
sends
passes it to Silva.
Yeah, to Silva. Who basically, I mean, not even basically, he is standing almost dead center of a completely open goal. I'd say, what, 4 steps from the mouth of the goal?
He is at the 6-yard box, at the top of the 6-yard box. So,
do you remember that free kick taker from Italy who skied it? It was that high. Over, I mean, it's almost like you literally could have shot it anywhere else and it would have gone in.
Credit to Yakumakis because he goes straight up to Silva and is telling the crowd, support him. It sucks. It's embarrassing.
He's like, just don't boo. He's off the team next year. Anyway.
I'm gonna make sure.
Yeah,
don't worry. I won't pass it to him again.
Yeah, we can't have this anymore. That's my fault.
but
if you're Yakumakis, who's had what
18 goals this year, something crazy like that. Yeah. I forget how many goals he's had this year. If you're Giakoumakis, you think to yourself, I should have taken a shot.
I mean, it is a literal.
Does it bounce?
Tapping. It's off. It's a little bit off the ground, a little bit, but it's no real.
It's still playing.
Sorry. It's a little bit off the ground, but it's not a. There's no excuse.
He really could have taken a touch.
Look at the physio.
Look at her.
You feel bad. Everybody's
she,
like.
If you're just listening, imagine how you sit when you have a migraine.
Just, you know what? The kids have been running around all day. You just don't know what to do.
One more time, this kid says why. I gave you 15 answers. And then, I don't know why the sky is blue, dog.
It looks even more menacing with the black rubber gloves because it looks like I'm about to kill somebody.
Sorry, it looks like a chef who's at the end of her shift.
And even the coach is just, you know, hands, praying hands. Look at the man, the other assistant coach with his hands behind the headrest.
Yeah. It looks like he's on a ride that's going a little too fast for his liking. Obviously exasperated. Everybody is just shocked.
Oh, wait. Oh, you know what? I just realized I'm blocking the... we can't even really see the... There it is. Okay, now everybody watching, you can see the lady that we're talking about because our image was blocking the...
Oof. God, this is... It's a bad miss. I also like, if you're watching this, you can see the body armor igloo, whatever those things are called, cooler. It just says Yarmer. It literally took me like 8 minutes to figure out what that was just now. I was just like, Yarmer? Is this a Latin brand? Yarmor?
So a wild miss, but a big win for Atlanta United. Nashville is out officially. They lost both of their games 1-0 to Orlando.
You want
to
hear a crazy stat about this Columbus-Atlanta game?
What's the stat?
Columbus has lost 16 straight away games in the playoffs.
Oh, that's...
That's a lot.
That's quite a bit.
Lost.
Yeah.
16 straight. That's crazy.
Well, they got to sort that out.
But
the next game's at home, so...
What do you guys do? What do you guys do in the hotel when you go on the road, dude? You guys party like crazy the night before the game?
Columbus had a few good chances. Atlanta defended well exactly when they needed to, but they had a good game desperately when they really, really needed one. So, but credit to them.
And Orlando knocks out Nashville.
Yeah, this was...
What did you say? They didn't score in three games. Something like 300-something minutes.
Yeah, I think it's like five or six games that Nashville hasn't scored a goal. So they went into the playoffs kind of sputtering, and they just made it. They got it was seventh place, I believe. But just not a great showing for Nashville in these playoffs. We know Orlando pretty good, and I think a lot of people underestimate them. But Nashville,
yeah, Orlando's one of those teams that we talk about this every year. You got to get hot into the playoffs. They are one of those teams that got hot coming into the playoffs.
They're looking pretty sharp. But it's kind of a surprise from Nashville because we talked about this last year. They basically said, you know, Hany Mukhtar needs help. And then they ended up getting a striker. What's his name? I forget his name.
Not Fafa Pico, who I think Schaffelberg.
Not Schaffelberg.
Surridge?
Surridge. They brought Surridge came
Sam
from.
Sam Surridge. Was he Birmingham City?
What club did he come
or
from?
Or Southampton or something like that?
Let me look it up.
Yeah, I don't even know where to find it. Oh, he was at Nottingham Forest.
Nottingham Forest. He played at Stoke.
Yeah. And nothing. They didn't have, they just couldn't find any way to really, really give Gallese any real trouble. This across both games, just generally really disappointing.
I gotta say, I know you brought in Surridge. I think Fafa Biko, who I believe came in the second half. No, he started. Played well, and I mean, you've got some gutsy players like a McCarty, Alexander Mule. You've got some gutsy players, but when they're attacking, it still feels like Hany Mukhtar's got nobody with him.
I mean, when you look at, we love the homie Fafa.
But he provides that speed along the wing. He cuts in late. Has the things he does well.
When you look at this lineup, I mean, just the front three, Hany Mukhtar, we know what he's capable of. Surridge has shown good signs throughout this season. But he came in the middle of the season, if I'm not mistaken. And Fafa is a great attacking threat, but he's not going to guarantee you a whole bunch of goals throughout the year.
That's not the best way to use him either. Is that Anibal Godoy?
Yeah, but so when you look at
some players on this team, what's going on?
You do, but again, it
Shaq
is...
Moore?
When it's as far as attacking talent, you're not going to expect a lot of goals from Anibal Godoy. You're not... expecting much as far as goals from Dax McCarty.
This is a team that should go three at the back, keeping Dax McCarty a little bit further back to protect that back line. This is the type of team that should do that.
Yeah, so this lineup is just... You can see they're going to defend.
Yeah.
They're not going to give up a lot of goals, and that's been the case. The Walker Zimmerman, two-time defender of the year.
Yeah.
So you know that they're capable of... Look, they only gave up two goals in these two games, but going forward... There's just no ideas, and there's not too many like really strong attacking options. And then, so I think that's Nashville has to sort that out next year. So the only other news as far as MLS stuff, Christian Latanzio got let go from Charlotte. So it's going to be interesting. MLS is becoming a very unique space because there are so many teams. And that we always talk about the talent pool being diluted, but then it's also a coaching pool. There's so many. How many really good coaches are there available in a league that is going to have 30 teams? It's gonna be a bit tough. I think we're gonna have a lot of year after year, just like a third of the league getting rid of their coaches. And
it's gonna have to happen, especially when there's no promotion and relegation. You don't have those things that say like. This is the moment where you have to get rid of your coach other than making the playoffs or getting booted horrifically out of the playoffs.
Right. The other game I want to make sure we talk about is New England Revolution, Philadelphia Union, because a lot of the drama around it, we spoke about Kai Wagner last week. He has been officially suspended
for three matches.
For three games.
He doesn't get back until the conference final.
This was the first one that he got suspended from. But
he won't be there for FC Cincinnati, and I guess whatever.
And then whatever the next one after that. So I think he would be, if they make it to the final, I think that's the only one he would be able to play in. And there's a lot of also drama there because now the Union.
Bobby Wood was also at fault.
Yeah, like he was the one who kind of started it. Don't know.
It's like just kids in the back of a minivan. He's done.
It's just a lot of drama. But did you see what's his name? Why am I forgetting his name? The center back for the Revolution.
Pharrell?
No. The
Lowe?
No, he was just on Gomez's podcast. Why am I forgetting his
name? His
name. Why am I forgetting?
On the Revolution?
Yeah.
Just click on the revs, right bro. Now.
Omar Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah.
Omar Gonzalez was on.
I had no idea who you're talking about.
Omar Gonzalez was on Herc's podcast, Vamos. And he was completely open about it, about the Kai Wagner, Bobby Wood stuff. And he just said that Kai crossed the line and that Kai couldn't handle the trash talk. He said shit talk, I believe. And Kai took it too far. And so he deserves to be deserves the suspension. And then Kai Wagner,
he don't know how to get cooked. So he didn't grow up where we grew up because you learn how to get cooked.
So Kai Wagner came back. He made a statement on Instagram, and he
said, "Yo, Bobby Wood said, what are those? I really like my shoes."
I'll bring up the statement because it was I don't want to get it wrong, but. This is what he said. He said, the last few days have been very difficult for me and my family. I said something I deeply regret in the heat of the moment that was in response to defend unacceptable comments regarding my family. I sincerely apologize for this and will work on bettering myself and my actions. This is not a representation of who I am. It's
turn the comments off. You got to do that.
Nothing can excuse really a racial slur, and I don't know specifically what he said. I know that they were apparently Omar Gonzalez was saying that they were speaking in German. So we were kind of joking about the possibility of that Kai Wagner didn't know that he spoke German, and
turns out he knew.
He knew they were speaking. That's what they were doing, and it went.
I will say I'm not defending Kai Wagner in any way, shape, or form, but that's got to be a little shocking to be cooked in your own language when you don't know the dude even knows it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, look, I think the stance, I think of the team, I think of people in the league, it's just like, you know, there's no tolerance for it.
Of course not. No, and he should be suspended. Right. He took it too far. That's outside the spirit of even trash talking.
Right. So,
don't do that.
But things get said in games that are meant to trigger people emotionally. And if this is accurate and he says something about his family, like I understand the reason. It doesn't justify it.
No.
You have to maintain control. I mean, and it's also
whatever was said must be good. If it boils somebody's blood,
it must have been
the point where they turn racist on you, or allegedly, obviously, we don't know what was said.
He admitted that he said something that was offensive. So, and that's why he's serving the suspension. It's a 3-game suspension. And he accepted the consequence. But again, I think for us who, you know, not players, we did not play in the league.
Right.
We've spoken to, you know, several players on the show. Things get said on the pitch that we don't really know about. And there's a lot of, it's not as cordial as people may think. I'll say that.
I think I mentioned this on the show once, but growing up, I played sports quietly. I didn't say anything.
I didn't say much either. I wasn't a
trash talker. When you watch it on TV, you don't hear them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they just instinctually know.
All I ever heard
was
Rasheed Wallace saying, ball don't lie.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I heard a lot of, yo, ref. That's all I really ever heard.
As far as it got.
So I never spoke when I played because I never saw a player speak. So the idea that they're not just out there speaking, but they're psychologically taking each other apart.
Right. So
just goes to show you got to be a good roaster if you want to play.
So that's what we're here for.
Yeah. Yo, anybody, any players need professional writers to help you out?
We will happily give you some.
Let us know who you're playing next. We got some bits for you.
A couple of bits and stuff like that. All right. You know what?
Unless you're not that type of player and you want to chill.
Yeah, and we're here for you there as well because
we got some ideas. What's one idea, quick, off the top of your head?
Oh, I think a nice cold Coors Light.
That's a great idea. What a wonderful idea, bro. And the best part about it is if you want to chill, you know exactly how to chill. Because as soon as you look at that can, you open that fridge, you go, hey, I wonder if that's cold enough. Oh, yeah, that's right. The mountain turns blue.
Exactly. And you know what? It's November. The holidays are coming up.
Ooh.
And that's the best part because holidays are full of get-togethers, celebrations, family, friends. And some people bring some, unseasoned, chicken salad or whatever.
Oh, my God.
You don't want to be. Don't be one of those people.
You already know what family member I'm talking about. But you know the one who pulls up with a container full of food and you think, oh, no. why didn't you buy it, Dia? You should have bought.
What Instagram cooks have you been following? No, yo, you got to stop. You're doing it wrong.
You ain't got no seasoning in the cupboards, Dia. You already know. Hey, bro, look, I love family. You know that. But every once in a while, it gets to be a little bit too much.
Okay, so.
And I need to chill then as well. So I go off to the side. I crack open a nice, cold, refreshing crisp Coors Light.
Exactly. So tell your families don't bring that unseasoned food. Bring some Coors Light over. So make time to chill this holiday season and reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right. Let's move on to the NWSL final happening this weekend. Oil Rain will be facing Gotham FC. Pino against Kriegs.
Do you know Pino is a nickname for porn?
I do know that.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So
I didn't know that. That's news to me.
What a battle. Pino versus Kriegs.
That's right. I still think it's an odd matchup.
Guys, just search for it. Put it in the search history.
But no, now that we are just a couple days away, is there any, I don't know, how are you feeling about this final? I mean, there is we're closer to somebody being so terribly disappointed and like the storyline having some kind of heartbreak for one of these two iconic players.
I feel like the way Megan Rapinoe ended her international career, she's probably a little bit more prepared for that. I love you, Megan, but come on, I think you know exactly what I mean. You know what? I'm thinking of it mainly through Ally Krieger, through the Ally Krieger lens.
Yeah.
Because again, we're closer with her, but there's something where at first there was this joy that they made it to this game.
you know, the team saying this isn't Ali's last match, you know, and the Go Bats and everyone fighting to get into this position. And now there's a little bit of dread kind of sitting in where I'm like, or sinking in, I should say, where I'm like, oh, man, this really is like her last match.
Last
this is the last time I'm going to get to see her play.
Yeah.
And remember when we first interviewed her, one of the first things I said, like, yo, I'm being for real. You're one of my favorite players. You're my favorite defender on the team. Like, I really did admire the way she played so much. To now to get to this point where we're cool with her, and but now it's going to be the end of her playing career is kind of rough to accept.
Yeah, there's a there's also even on for you were talking about Krieger, right? Not Rapino, right? I'm just making sure.
We're not listening.
I was searching something, but there is a. I mean, I also feel that like with Megan Rapino is such a like. A hero of mine.
I mean, think because Megan Rapinoe has felt like, oh, this could be her last year for a few years.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even at the last World Cup, you're like, all right, well, she doesn't have to be a starter. Like, Ali Krieger absolutely could have been a starter. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right, yeah.
Like, there's something where even when we went to go watch the last regular season match, we were like, are you kidding me? You still got it. Still you know? It.
I think so. What I think was going to happen at the end of this NWSL final, there is a weird, like, regardless of who wins, it is going to be difficult, but I honestly think that each one is going to be so happy for the other one. I mean, there's a
I can see that
a difficult thing because I don't know if you saw Sue Bird on her Instagram stories. She put out a question asking Duke Ken, "How do I get like the 50-50 jersey?
Right,
like the half and half Ola Rain Gotham jersey?
Right.
So even within the Rapinoe." Bird household. There's
right. I bet even Rapinoe was like, do I have to be the one to beat her?
I'm about to marry you, yeah. And you just can't like roll hard for me.
I know. Damn. How about this? It's 75% Rapinoe. You get a Gotham sleeve on an OL ring kit.
So Sue Bird trying to. So it just shows like the. Just the love and respect and admiration that they all have for each other. And so I think that's what is an interesting part of the storyline. I just want to highlight this. I saw this from Claire Watkins on Twitter, who works for Just Women Sports.
Yeah.
And I love this. This was on Lynn Williams on the Snacks, on her Snacks podcast. If you look at her manicure, she has little bats in the
that's beautiful.
On her nails, and it looks like she's giving you know, flipping the bird, but she's not.
It's a ring finger.
It's a ring finger. Yeah. Two ring fingers. But great manicure. But so I just like that the fanfare around this NWSL final, and it's leading to a lot of just conversation and engagement. And I think nothing highlights it more than Carly Lloyd right now. Carly Lloyd has been announced as one of the for the pregame
for CBS. So I will tread lightly.
So, but she's going to be so we're not talking about her work on CBS. We're talking about her work on Twitter, because right now
she was announced as one of the color commentators, maybe
not color commentator, like for the pregame analyst. And so she's going to be on the broadcast,
right?
So we all know,
and another friend. Well, I guess Carly's not a friend, but a friend of ours, Meg Linehan.
I'm very shocked you said that. Yeah, no.
Meg Linehan pointed out, hey,
there's like a conflict of interest,
a little bit of conflict of interest, and Carly Lloyd said, say my name. And we were like, no, this is not the way to do this, Carly.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, look, she's been a bit of a blocking spree on
she's
Twitter.
She's
responding to everybody.
In fact, what was one of the accounts you mentioned? This is someone's name on Twitter.
So she responds. She quote tweeted.
Say it fast, because I think it's all one word.
So apparently she had something to say about Alexi Cumguzzler.
That's their name.
That is their name on this platform. On Elon's platform. And so she's kind of clapping back at everybody that has an issue with the fact that she was hired to be the correspondent. And whether you are a fan of her work or not, I think Meg's point is
there's a conflict of interest because she's a minority owner.
She's the owner of Gotham FC. So obviously it's going to be nearly impossible to be completely unbiased.
I doubt that she can't be unbiased, because she was also a former player. And also, you see how she talks about everything. I don't think her own investments, she's not going to, you know, stand by. So I don't know. But I think the point I think it was fair to make the point. I mean, you're like, hey, I just noticed
because I don't think it was.
You don't think you're gonna send someone into a, you know, a Twitter or X.com tailspin, you know?
Yeah, because it's not I didn't take Meg's tweet as some personal attack on Carly. I think it's a thing that, and just to see Carly's response, it says, quote, Meg is highlighting that this might be a conflict of interest to have an owner to be part of the do analysis for the game. And Carly responds with saying, quote, what's the problem? It's soccer. Talking about two teams in the NWSL final. And you can just at me. It's all good. So, all right. It's a little bit like.
I mean, we've seen you speak. We know it's not all good.
Okay. I was kicking it. I saw it. It's not, I'm not shocked.
Another CBS vehicle.
Very good show. Go watch her kicking it. I thought it was
It's probably the most. She's ever opened up.
Yeah.
About
I thought it was very enlightening. But this is. I think it's a fair point. It's not me saying Carly shouldn't be on the broadcast or whatever. Right. But I think it's
also at the end of the day, this is a good promotion for this game.
Look, I ain't complaining. We're having a good time talking about it. I think the raising of the standard, and I think that's what Meg is sort of saying that. Women's soccer in America is growing, but it's so insular. It's such a small.
That feels like we're getting out of that though.
But
you know what's a big sign of that for me was in these cleats.
Yeah.
The show that it's a great show. Paige Nielsen and I can't remember the comedian's name now.
Tin Tran.
Thank you. The show they do that to me, I'm like, oh, this feels almost like a casual show about women's sports.
Sure.
Where in the past it was, I've been a fan for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I'm the only one qualified to talk about this, or I'm the only one willing to talk about this. Where now we're having people come in and say, hey, the moment I was inspired was the last World Cup where it felt like need, like when we started talking about women's sports, we got a little bit of stick because like you guys aren't tried and true and haven't been here from the beginning. And we're like, hey, man, we're learning along the way. We're trying to get into it, and we really got into it. And again, that was 2015. That was a long time ago. But now it feels like you can just sort of casually roll up and start talking about this because now there's a bit more context.
Right. But I think the point of like when you have an owner of a team, part of a doing sort of the journalism side of it.
Yeah, but this isn't like just an owner. It's not like no.
Which I
imagine the Glazers on Sky Sports should be like, all right.
I think that is valid, but I think Meg's point is that there is that sort of line that will be blurred, just highlighting that.
I don't think either one of them are wrong, really, the way they're going about it. One of them, I think, yes, is wrong. But I don't think either one of them are wrong. That said,
so,
I think because she was a standout in the sport.
Right. So I just want to enjoy Carly Lloyd's Twitter account for as long as we can. I'm sure maybe she'll see this and we'll get blocked eventually. Yeah,
that'll be coming soon.
Who knows? Sure. Who knows?
Maybe I'll see her in the green room.
But again, this is part of the sort of entertainment of the game. This is, you know, look, I don't think Carly Lloyd should be the story necessarily, but she wants to clap back at everybody on Twitter, and we're going to talk about it. So
pull up with your name, Alexi Cumgrassler, you're going to get...
mainly the Alexi Cumgrassler. You could have responded to anybody.
Some of them you can leave behind. This reminds me of...
I feel like not everybody has a valid gripe that you need to respond to.
Some people you just got to leave on red.
Is this on your ID?
I know. Please tell me the state of government.
It's like McLovin.
Is it like French?
Oh, from the Connecticut Cumgrassler?
Is it like French? Is it Cumgrassler? What is going on here? Because I don't want to be disrespectful.
Or is it you calling your dog and you name your dog Guzzler? Cumgrassler.
Cumgrassler.
Come on. Cumgrassler. Yeah, it could be that.
It could be that. You don't know, but...
We don't know. We haven't asked
We have to thank Carly for bringing this person into our universe.
This reminds me of Ray Sani's bit. Ray Sani, hilarious comedian. She had a bit where she said, I love following Cory Booker because when he was mayor of Newark, he would respond to anyone who tweeted, yo, this pothole's broken, or like, oh, this thing don't work. He would respond to anyone. Where are you? We'll send someone. And her joke was like,
He'll literally respond to anyone, even someone called like, you know, Stinky Kitty 48 or Lick My Toes 69. She'd be like, we didn't shovel the snow. We got to save Stinky Kitty 48.
Well, that's look. Yeah. You a man of the people.
Yeah.
Cory Booker. But no, I'm excited for the NWSL final. It's going to be dope for sure.
Early doors. But who do you got? Have we said?
Yeah, yeah, we did. We, say it. I'm curious. Wait, say it on Monday. I'm curious. Are you guys going to both say the same thing? That you said on Monday, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I said got them 2-1, right?
Yeah.
What did I say? I said, did I say got
you
them in penalties?
Penalties,
I think?
You said penalties,
said
right?
Them
right,
penalties.
Right, right.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just curious, just keeping you guys consistent.
I think the again, I said
it's
on Monday.
I will flip-flop. I go off the dome a lot.
I think that the depth of Gotham is a little bit better than OL Reign. Gotham has a really, really strong squad. I mean, we also Juan Carlos Amoros got the coach of the year.
Coach of the year, yeah. Well deserved.
Yeah, yeah.
Last place team, bro. To the finals.
Lynn Williams was on the first team. Allie Krieger was on the first team. Mm-hmm. Jenna Nyswong was on the NWSL second team. That's a strong squad. I don't expect a lot of goals in this game.
Wasn't Midge also on the first team?
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
Midge was injured, and she missed, I think, something like 8 or 9 games, so I think that probably hurt her.
Maybe she was in the second team. Yeah, she
anyway,
played. Oh, wait, no, she played incredibly well during the World Cup.
So, the... So excited about the final. It's going to be dope this Saturday. Go make sure you check it out. I don't even know where we are with time on
Tide
the show.
Tide 5, baby. It's time for Tide 5.
It's time for Tide 5. Let's go, everybody. We didn't even get to Emma Hayes. We'll talk Emma Hayes next week.
We did too long of a conversation. Yeah, we'll talk about Emma Hayes when we got some more time. So we're doing Tide 5 again.
Uh-huh.
As people know, the best segment ever created.
The greatest
in the history of
on
podcasting.
Earth.
You guys know how we do. We got 5 topics, 1 minute each. Gonna put it on the clock and give you guys a minute to react.
Okay, let's go.
Guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Got the sounder ready for after? That's the big thing. We got our boy.
Right, ready to go.
All right, ready. The first topic. The Peru shithousery video of the teams turning off the lights in the stadium after winning the championship.
Okay, don't start the clock until I just... So if people don't know what this is, let's just play it. So Alianza Lima was against Universitario. It is the final or the end of the season. I don't know exactly what it was, but Universitario won at home, at the home of Alianza Lima. They are rivals, and we can see what happened right here.
There they go, celebrating. Oh, my God, what a huge win. As soon as they blow the whistle, yeah, now you party, right? Oh, wait a minute.
So there it is.
They shut off the lights.
They shut up. Literally, only the ad boards. Literally, only the sponsors are happy.
Even the camera don't know what's going on. Here's why I love this. You got to be petty, man. This is what a rivalry is about. You don't let your ops celebrate in your house. You know what I mean? In fact, I might do this to my in-laws. You say something wild, I might just shut the lights off at Thanksgiving.
It is elite level pettiness. It is it's an opportunity.
Are you this petty?
I'm not this petty.
No, you're a gracious host. Not me, bro. Everything getting shut down. I might block your car in the driveway.
So, look, but they shut everything off. They basically said, like, yo, we didn't pay. They're going to be like, yo, we didn't pay the bill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just the way my finances are now.
Oh, I pulled one plug. I meant to. I'm so sorry.
I was just looking for the charger.
Oh. I thought this button said offense.
This is the one.
Because we needed to attack.
This is the one meme joke that I didn't say, but I basically when this happened, I was like, "Yo, who's controlling Alianza Lima's electricity? Is it Israel?" That's
just gonna bang it on that one. Gonna bang it on that one. Keep it moving.
Next video.
The PSG.
Remember, the thoughts presented on this podcast are not the thoughts of everyone on this podcast.
PSG celebrating Warren Zaire's Emery call-up by jumping on his back while he was laying in bed to the France national team.
I didn't see this. Wait, what happened?
So Zaire Emery, who's 19, 17
years old? I saw a picture of him just laying on a bed.
Everyone jumped on his back.
He got attacked.
Got it.
Yeah. One of the strangest videos I've ever seen in terms of celebrating an international call.
This is like growing up in the hood when it was your birthday, however old you were, is how many punches you took on the arm from everybody. It's like, well, do you not love me, bro? This is, I've never understood a dog pile. I've been so scared to be at the bottom of a dog pile.
I hate being at the bottom of the sports, bro. You never want to be at the bottom.
Now, I just want to say this. If I ever happen to be you know, single, and this was a group of women, I'd be like, okay. Thank you for celebrating.
That's the bottom of a dog pile. You'll be fine.
Hey, that's a dog pile. Okay. But if, let's say, you guys find out I win some award, a comedian of the year, if you will,
right,
and then you and Mike decide to just jump on me while I'm laying on one of these couches here in the studio, I'd be very upset at you.
Well, yeah, you would suffer quite a few injuries, I think.
I get injured usually no matter what. Also, look at how you guys would bounce off me.
All right, next topic. I'm not even sure if you guys have seen this one. Rodrigo Palacio, the former Inter Milan striker, is playing in Serie D basketball right now for a team called Garignano Basket, I believe.
Spell it.
Garignano. Garignano Basket. Just thoughts. Doesn't even have to be seen the video. Just.
We're looking at a photo of it, and I did see this photo, and he is, I don't know much about him. What?
You can tell from this photo he's trash at defending. Let me just say this. You know how bad Europeans are at basketball, like former soccer players
yeah.
are. They shoot from the chest. They have a very ugly shot.
Yeah.
That's the best athletes in Europe.
I mean,
this is Serie D.
Serie D.
Could you imagine how trash Serie D basketball is? First of all, this looks like a high school.
This is, I've seen better ballers at the YMCA. Right?
Bro, look at the rim behind him. Do you have any confidence? First of all, it looks like it's 11 feet.
They're getting it out of the way because, you know, the kids play there sometimes.
This is trash.
But it's just like you see it and you're just like, bro, this guy looks like it looks like Manu Ginobili's last year. You know what I mean? He was losing. Much hair where you're like, yo, how old is this man?
Bro, that bald spot was a dot 6 months ago.
All right, 1 minute. Next one. I saw, Alexis, you were posting about this earlier. Brooklyn FC coming to USL in 2025. Shout
Let's
out
go. Okay. New team. Love the logo. It's got the Brooklyn Bridge in it. Don't know exactly where they're going to play. I believe it's USL League One, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, lowest level.
But Brooklyn FC. I don't know if they have the logo yet, but I mean the account yet. There it is. Shouts to Brooklyn FC. Love the design. Our friend is on the creative team. Let's just say the scenes are going to be dope. I think.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, you do. All right. I mean, let's just say that maybe they'll spend a lot of time figuring out who the number 10's club is. Yes,
gotcha.
Okay.
There it is.
Really, really excited.
Oh, that's dope.
This is huge. North Six Group owns a couple teams. They own a team in Serie D soccer and Serie B, I believe, Ascoli. In Serie B. So this is a huge...
They can do some scouting in the Serie D basketball.
Yeah.
Find some players.
Yeah. Any of you kick better than you defend the three-point line?
This is going to be huge. I'm from Brooklyn, so it's always dope to see stuff like this and the game, bro. Play in Sunset Park, bro.
Okay.
Right. Out of time. All right, last one. We're going to do last one, probably not a soccer topic most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you come from a fart-proud or a fart-shame household growing up?
So we know the theory. Okay. Right, you either come from a fart proud or a fart shaming house.
Mm-hmm.
I am part of the proud section of a split house.
Oh, interesting! Wow,
the stinkier,
a civil war,
if you will.
Your home.
Oh, it stunk.
Half the house.
Half the house. Very loud about it. My grandfather, who didn't find me funny for most things, because I would typically be funnier in English.
Okay,
so the humor would go over his head. Thought farts were hilarious, and to this day I still do.
I'm a fart shamer. I came in.
You don't like poopy humor at all.
I'm not totally against it, but I grew up in a fart shame home. My father used to fart. My mom would be absolutely disgusted by it, and my entire childhood is watching my mom be disgusted by farts. So I'm like,
you had to pick a side.
I'm like, I've adopted this. This
but
is
in
my
your house. You hold it.
Oh, yeah. I do not fart in front of my wife. I do not expect any farts from her.
Yeah. Oh, no, dude. My house is a let it go. Let it go. Sing with me. Let it go.
It's a tight ship in my home.
All right. Tight five.
There it is.
Hey, that's a tight five, folks.
Shout out to Mark Norman. And then we're talking about farts, and then Mark Norman's voice comes out. So
yeah,
it's
perfect.
It worked out perfectly.
Where's Mateo fall in the... Fart proud, fart shame.
Interestingly,
Mateo and Nutmeg, I feel like, don't listen to you with your...
No, Mateo does not... He's not much of a farter. He doesn't fart. I mean, he poops like, you know, baby does.
That's
baby's
nice.
I mean, his poop have been great. you know, that we go to the pediatrician and he's like, pooping rain. They're like, yeah, pooping rain. They're like, and yeah, we all like high five.
He's like, no, the last one came out to the left.
But now he hasn't been farting. He hasn't. I don't know. I hope, hopefully he maintains that because.
Nah, dude, we got to get it out of him. We got to squeeze him a little bit.
I do think that sometimes in the at night he might wake up because sometimes babies need to like either burp or fart, yeah, and they can't. They can't do it on their own.
Well, let me tell you this. You have six sphincters in your body, and you break them if you hold a fart. Did you know that? You could ruin your sphincters if you hold a fart, so let it out. Maybe get past your stupid Puritan ways, Christian.
Hashtag save the sphincters.
Yeah, dog, all of them. Six sphincters in your body.
Please don't start this hashtag. And please don't associate us with it.
Hashtag save the sphincters.
You know what? Don't prove it to Christian. Send him photos. Medical photos.
I don't want to see your sphincters. Trust me.
The fact that we had to say that on this show makes me so happy.
I mean, post them wherever you want.
Come on, Alexi Guzler. Now's your chance.
Okay, there's a reason OnlyFans exists. For these photos, please feel free to monetize it wherever you like. All right, let's wrap up, everybody.
Oh, last thing I want to say is whoever keeps tagging the players when we got jokes about them, i.e. Wilder Cartagena, bro, stop tagging these players, bro.
People are snitching on us, bro.
You're making it hot, bro.
Hilarious. I'm expecting a mean DM from Wilder real soon. So, everybody, thank you again for tuning in. We appreciate it. As always, make sure you subscribe to the Cool Against podcast if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. Hit subscribe on YouTube as well, and join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans, for a bunch of exclusive contenido. All right, we will be back on Monday with another fun episode. It's gonna be another really good. We got a big guest coming next week, so
huge.
Be on the lookout for that. So shout out to everybody. We got a lot of positive feedback from the Nico Cantor episode.
It was great.
So if you haven't listened to that one, go check that out, because a lot of people, a big Argentinian collective came through. They showed a lot of love, so we appreciate it.
And shout out to Gavincho for a very funny video.
Amazing. All right, everybody, we'll be back on Monday. We'll see you then. Peace.
Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.